in the place that you're in, whether you're comfortable there or not, God can use you to impact somebody. But you need to be where God wants you to be. Before we move on this morning, let me ask you a question. Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you doing what God would have you to be doing? Or is there that nagging in the back of your mind, hey, you need to step up here. Hey, there's more that can be done in this area. Sure, it's probably going to be uncomfortable. It may require you to get a little bit less sleep. It may mean that you have to spend a little bit of time out in the cold. It may mean that on Saturday morning when you don't want to be knocking on someone's door, it might mean that you show up on a Saturday morning and go knock on someone's door. It may mean going to a nursing home to sing some Christmas carols for some folks that probably need the company. It may mean stepping outside of your comfort zone, but that's where God gets the glory. Is there something in your mind that is just it's just nagging at you? This needs to be done. It was always said this way coming up. You see the need, take the lead. You see it, do something about it. You know, it doesn't have to be Brother Mark outside. You know, he primarily does her outside. It doesn't have to be Brother Mark out there salting the driveway. You see the need. You saw the forecast just like I did. This storm has been on my phone for 4 days now. We all know it was coming. Doesn't have to be that person. Oh, that's his job. Well, he could probably use a little bit of help. That's a large parking lot. You know, we see the need. You fill it. You see, there's a Sunday school teacher that might need a break. Fill that. Go to Brother Mike. Hey, this person is down there every week. They haven't been sat in a Sunday school class to be poured into in years. Fill that need. Hey, they could probably use an extra helper. Hey, there's an extra seat in the choir. You know, the ushers, they could use some help down by the front door on a snowy Sunday morning, Sunday night. Helping people get to their cars. On a rainy day, I can carry an umbrella for somebody to get to church more comfortably. These aren't big areas. They're not large asks. They're just the simple things and say, you know what? I'm going to give my best for God. If I'm here, I'm going to be here. And I'm going to be all in while I'm here. So are you where you're supposed to be this morning? You might ask, Brother Jake, how do I know for sure? How do I know for sure that this isn't just a pipe dream of mine, but it's God's will for my life? How do I know that? Give you a couple tips before we move to point number two this morning. First, faithfully walking with Him. You have to be faithfully walking with the Lord. If you're not spending time in the Word of God, that's where you start. He's not going to give you something more on top of that until you have that part down. Because He speaks to you through the Word of God. If you've never spent any time in prayer, then start there. If praying and reading your Bible is something you struggle with, that's where you start. Don't come up, and I've seen this so many times, not necessarily here. We have Brother Mike, Brother Jake, our pastor. They put a lot of things in place to prevent this from happening. But coming up, I remember seeing guys come to our pastor, to our Sunday school director, and say, hey, I'd like to teach a Sunday school class. And this person hasn't opened their Bible in, well, since last Sunday morning. During the week, the Bible doesn't get open. And that's where it starts. God's not going to reveal. His will is revealed to you through the Scripture. Not some experiential experience and outside of body moments that some people like to put on YouTube. It has nothing to do with how you feel or what you want. It's, I was reading my Bible today and God showed me this. Pastor was preaching from the Word of God today, and in that passage of Scripture, God showed me this. I spoke with Brother Joe recently, and one of the questions that was asked, hey, do you have Scripture for your calling? Do you have scripture for your calling? Pastor asked the same thing when we first started the Timothy training. There's four men in there called to the ministry. Do you have a verse for that? Do you have a verse for that? And I don't know what all of the other guys' verses are. I'm sure we shared them at some point. I don't remember what they were. For me, it's Romans 10:13, which I'm sure most know at this point. I preach from an iPad. I have a case that goes over top of this. This is magnetic into a case that my sister-in-law, Lindsay, had made for me for Christmas a couple years ago. And on that case, she had my name and Romans 10:13 etched in the bottom right-hand corner. Because the reason for me owning this iPad was for ministry purposes. And I'm not going to quote the entire thing, but the tail end of Romans 10:13 says, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" God uses scripture to call you to some sort of work. If you're faithfully walking with the Lord, then number two, you want to be sensitive to His leading. Sensitive, you'll have that heart pricked and see there's something. You know what, I think I could fit in here, or you know, there's a need over here, and I think I could fill that need. Now, there is a caveat to that. God's will and God's word never disagree with one another. Okay? There's a lot of things that can be said in this area. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. But the Bible says, thou shalt not, or whatever the case may be. And I'm trying not to give very pointed examples, but you get the point. I'm really trying not to give pointed examples this morning, but Pastor and Jake and Brother Jake can see it on my face. You know what I'm going to say, so I'm not going to say it. Anyway, God's will and God's word never disagree with one another. If what you're doing does not agree with the word of God, you are outside of the will of God. There is no exception to that rule. If the Bible says that this is how things are done, then this is how things are done. And if you go outside of that model, you are in direct disobedience to the word of God. And you are not in His will, whether it feels right or not. My feelings do not dictate what God is supposed to be doing in my life. What I want does not dictate what God is going to do in and through my life. And my wife knows this about me. I'm a dreamer by nature. I like to think about things, and once I get an idea in my mind, I'm gonna run at it with everything that I have. I've gone to three Bible colleges. I didn't step foot in any of those before I went. I just heard about them, said, you know what, that seems right, went. Don't do that. Don't do that. Not a good idea, okay? But that means, for me, it's very easy for me to get outside the will of God. Just being honest this morning. If it were up to me, and this sounds like I'm saying that they're holding me back. They're not. If I was not married and did not have children this morning, I would be somewhere in the Amazon, more than likely. I love that area of the world. I always have. It's very interesting to me. But I'm not going to do that. That's not God's will for my life. That is me being interested in something. You're allowed to be interested in something. Something is allowed to be intriguing to you. That doesn't make it the will of God for your life. God will open doors where He wants to open doors. It is not our job to kick a door open just because we want to go through it. What's on the other side of that door may not be what you want it to be because you're not there with God. The entire point of being inside of God's will is that you're doing what God wants you to do with God. If you find yourself in a place where you have a faithful walk with the Lord, you have a burden in your heart, a desire to do something, and a verse to back it up, you have scripture to back it up, that more than likely is God's will for your life. When your life matches God's design, and then your heart's desire becomes His desire, and then you follow that desire by taking the steps laid out for us within the confines of Scripture, That is God's will for your life. Everything is to be done decently and in order. And that God is not going to break his own will. He's not going to break his own word for sake of his will. He is going to do things decently and in order. Number one this morning, they've remained faithful to their job. These shepherds remained faithful to their job. If you look at verses 9 through 14, you would see that they received a message. They received a message. In the case of the shepherds, this was an exciting message. This was a message of great joy. It says it will be it's a message of great joy. It shall be to all men. They received the message of why we celebrate this time of year. What the Christmas season is all about. There was a tradition in my home growing up, and I didn't necessarily grow up in the most fundamental home, but my mom made a very conscious effort on Christmas Day. We would get up Christmas morning. Number one, she did not let us out of our room until 8 o'clock. We were not allowed to get up at 6 o'clock and pounce on their bed. That was not a thing. We tried, didn't work, okay? We were not allowed out of our room, and our door locked from the outside, okay? So, and it was one of those little latch things at the top. Okay, we were not allowed out of our room until 8 o'clock. After that, my mom was going to release us. Yeah, it was a zoo kind of thing. It was rough. We were going to go. We were not allowed to touch the presents under the tree. We were not allowed to touch the stockings. We were going to sit on the couch. And my mom has this book. It's still at my parents' house. In fact, there's one in my in-laws' house now as well. And all it is, it's an illustrated book that is just Luke chapter 2. That's all it is. And before we open presents, we were going to read the Christmas story. Quoted straight from the Bible. We're going to read the reason that we celebrate this Christmas before we did anything else. Because my mom wanted to make sure that we kept the main thing the main thing. And we read that same book. We bought it. We read it to our children. And Papa did it last year. We have a picture of Papa sitting in a chair in the basement. And all of the young people at our house, all 11 of them, were sitting on the floor looking up at Papa where he's reading the Christmas story. Quoted straight from Luke chapter 2. These are memories. You would think that the presents are the highlight of the Christmas season. I don't remember what any of those presents were. I remember my mom reading the Christmas story to me when I was a kid and telling me that Jesus is the reason for the season. I remember that. That was the message that these shepherds were given. He may choose on a Sunday morning to give you that same message of comfort, of joy. He may choose to bring you a message of conviction from sin. Say, hey, there's an area in your life that needs shored up. This is where you need to work on this morning. Hey, this is in your life. You need to get that out of there. Hey, you're going down this road to trying to do this thing. That's not the road I want you to be on. As a little side note, conviction is not a bad thing, for the record. Conviction is a good thing. Conviction is God saying, I love you too much to let that stay in your life. I love you too much to watch the hurt and the pain and the struggling that's going to come if you continue down that path. That's what conviction is. Conviction is not God saying that you can't have any fun. Oh, these rules and standards are put into place to keep everyone from doing what they want to do, to keep everybody in line. No, we have these convictions and we have these standards put into place to make sure that people stay within the will of God and that they don't not just hurt themselves, but not hurt the generation that comes behind them. I remember one church, and I'm not going to say where it is or what the church's name was. The pastor was a good man. But I remember walking into this church and you saw the senior saints, the ladies in the senior saints class, dresses, hair's done, and then you have that next age group down, 40 to 50, maybe 60, and they're wearing nice pantsuits, 30 and down, jeans, a hoodie. You could see very clearly the distinctions between the generations because they failed to teach the younger generation why we do what we do. Oh, that's just what grandma does. Oh, that's just what mom and dad does. No, well, did we ever stop to ask, hey, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, why did we do it that way? In the Old Testament, what's the purpose of those stones? Why are those left there? Those landmarks are put where they are to stop you from going too far, to getting into an area where you're not supposed to be. My brother Tom Brennan, who's been here, he's preached here before. His dad was saved in the church. He wrote a book. And in that book, he talked about, you know, is it easier to put an ambulance on the bottom of a cliff or a fence at the top? So if you put the fence at the top, though, don't put it right on the edge. Because as nature takes its course, the edge is going to erode. And eventually that fence will be lost. So you move that fence back from the edge to where it's safe. And it will continue to be safe for the generations to follow. Maybe that's what God's doing in your life. Maybe God's putting up fences in your life on a Sunday morning saying, hey, you need to put this in place so that from here on out, you don't get too close to the edge. The edge isn't bad, but it's not safe either. And if one thing goes wrong, it all goes wrong. So we put the fence back. And maybe God is putting fences up in your life, not to keep you from doing what you want to do. Well, maybe to keep you from doing what you want to do. But to say, I care about you too much to let you play on the edge of that cliff like that. How this message this morning, how any message that's preached from this pulpit is received, is up to you. As the listener this morning, you can make the decision whether you want to follow any of this or not. When pastor stands up here with Brother Mike, Brother Jake, Brother Joe, whoever stands, Brother Matt, Brother Jim, whoever stands up here, even Brother Ryan, Brother Noah, whoever stands behind this pulpit and preaches a message from the Word of God, you have a decision to make. Are you going to do anything with what God has put on the plate? It's your decision. I can't make you do anything. It's not my job to make you do anything. It's my job to take God's word, put it in front of you, and let you make that decision for yourself. God is not going to make you do anything. We talk about it in children's church often, and I usually use Wesley for this example, but I won't do it up here. God is not going to twist your arm. He's not going to put you in a chokehold and make you live within his will. He's not going to make you do that. The way we say it downstairs is that God is, he's a gentleman. He's not going to make you do something. Now, he's going to put things in your life, he's going to put warning signs in your life to say, hey, pay attention. There's danger up ahead if you continue down this road. Stop. Don't keep going. You need to halt right here. You need to turn around, make that U-turn, get back on the right path. But he's not going to make you do it. If you're determined to go to the end of that road, that's your decision to make. And when it all goes wrong, it's not God's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. If I make a decision and it goes horribly wrong for my family, that's my fault. Again, God's not going to make you do anything. I can't make you do anything. And by the way, if you want to do something for God or be used by God in any way, and I'm going to assume that everyone in here wants that. I'm just going to make that assumption. You need to be something before you do something. Live for God, and God will use you. Don't try to short-circuit the process and say, you know what, I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher and that's how I'm going to learn how to read my Bible. That's not how it goes. Learn how to read your Bible. And then what God pours into you, teach from the overflow. This morning or any other service, again, even in your personal time with the Lord, when God sends you a message, are you going to receive it? Are you going to take it? Even those hard things. Remember, the Bible says that the word of God is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two-thirds of those are bad. Two-thirds of those are negative. Not necessarily bad. They are harder to take than the exhortation. We all like to be exhorted. We all like to be built up. We all like the encouraging word. We all like that. But what really builds a person is when you come alongside and say, hey, I noticed this in your life. As your brother and sister in Christ, I love you too much not to tell you that that's probably not going to go well for you. Especially those that have a little bit more of life experience can come alongside of us that don't have as much life experience and say, hey, I noticed this. Maybe instead of doing it this way, try it this way. And we sharpen one another. And we build one another up. We're not tearing each other down. Negative things are not tearing each other down. Every time one of our guys preach here, we huddle up at the front here, and you're allowed to be a part of this, for the record. You are more than welcome to be a part of this at any time, especially for me. I'll speak for me. If you see the guys huddled down here after the service this morning, they are giving me critique. That's what they're doing. And in a good way. We all love each other. Brother Jake, Brother Mike, Brother Joe, Pastor, we all love each other. And we're saying, hey, you mentioned this, maybe tweak this in how you say this next time. Maybe put more focus here instead of here. Try doing this instead. The finer details thing. And again, you're allowed to be a part of that if you want. Negative is not bad. Critique is not bad. When it's done in the wrong way, it can be painful. And it's never fun to hear in the moment. But it's always done as brothers and sisters in Christ to build one another up to say, hey, if we work together here, your family will make it, and my family will make it, and their family will make it. If we all hold each other accountable, we bear one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens sometimes means saying, hey, there's an easier way to do that. You're doing that the wrong way. I don't know if you've ever done this. On a construction site, you pick up a ladder, not from the center. That it's heavy, but you center that ladder up on your shoulder, and it's balanced. You can carry it for a while. So if your life's out of balance, maybe let someone come behind you and give it a little bit of a tug to put it in the right place and make life a little bit easier for you. Again, not always a pleasurable experience, but in the end, it's done because you love me and I love you. That's what we're supposed to do. This morning we looked at two, again, very simple aspects of very simple shepherds. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at a couple more. No shepherds, they were where they were supposed to be. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Can the same be said of you this morning? It's really as simple as that. Well, I know you're in church. I understand that. I can see that. I appreciate that. You can be in church and not be who you're supposed to be or doing what you're supposed to be doing. I know because I've done it. I've been there. Yeah. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you faithful in everyday life? And again, I don't care a single bit if you are the best Christian in the world on Sunday, but you live like the world the other 6 days of the week. I don't care what you look like on Sunday. If the other 6 days don't match. I care more about those 6 days when you're not here than on the day that we're here. It's easy to be a Christian on Sunday. It's easy. Listen, it doesn't matter how well you preach, how well you teach. It doesn't matter if you're the best singer in our church or how accomplished you are in whatever part of ministry you're in. And it doesn't really even matter if the people here think you are some spectacular Christian. None of these things matter if your life does not match that outside of these walls, where the ministry leaders can't see you, where you're not putting on a show in front of our pastor, okay? If outside of here, where our Sunday school director, our deacons, our pastor can't see you, if you're known to be lazy, if you're known to be prideful, arrogant, maybe inconsistent, or you just blatantly have a bad testimony at your job or at your school, then nothing you do here matters. Get that right first, and then let God use you here. We appreciate all of the help, all of the things, but I'd rather have to pick up an extra corner and know that everyone that's carrying corners in this church are carrying those corners because they love the Lord and they have a heart to serve, rather than picking up those corners because they say, I don't know why I'm doing this. Pastor mentioned this on a Sunday morning. And because he's watching, I'm going to hold this corner, but only while he's watching. It happens more than you think. Not maybe as much here, but it happens. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. He sees the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows if you're genuine, whether we do or not. If you've got all that squared away, if you're faithful, not just to church, but in your own personal walk with God, that faithfulness, then the next step is to make sure when God sends you that message, and if you're in a place to receive that message, he's going to send it. The answer is yes before the message gets there. The answer is yes. I remember coming up singing a song, and I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. If I'm faithful enough to receive that message, my answer should be yes to whatever it is. But a lot of times we miss the message because we're not looking for it. We're not looking for it. We're not anticipating it. God wants to speak. He wants to point out things in your life. He wants to even give you some of that encouragement that we're always looking for. He wants to give you those things. But sometimes we just don't let him. Sometimes we don't let him because we don't pick up the Bible. Sometimes we don't let him because we're just reading to check off a box. Sometimes we're coming to church for the same reason. But sometimes. Sometimes we open a Bible and say, God, I need you to speak to me today. I need a word from you today. God, I'm sitting on a pew this morning. I'm drained. I need help. I need encouragement. I need something from you this morning. God will send it. He'll send it. The best gift you can give yourself for Christmas this year is allowing the Lord to speak freely into your life. We're going to do our invitation a little bit differently this morning. Miss Sam, Miss Emily are going to sing a song for our invitation today. You ladies can come and get ready. So it all comes down to this today. Be who you're supposed to be by reading the owner's manual. This is how you do that. This is how I know who I'm supposed to be, because it's right here. This is how I know what I'm supposed to do. It's right here. Everything you need is right here. It all comes down to that. Be who you're supposed to be, and then listen. Just listen. We have the conversation with Wesley and some of our other kids regularly. Wesley's brain moves at 1,000,000 miles an hour. I don't know if you knew that or not. If you've talked to him, you know that. But his thing is, I'll be talking to him, and he's 4 sentences ahead in this conversation. He knows how he wants to reply to you at the end, and then the story he wants to tell you after that conversation is done. He knows all of that already. And you can see it in his eyes. If you're a parent, you know that glazed over look where they're no longer engaged in this conversation. If you've worked with children for any length of time, you know the look I'm talking about. And that's where I have to, hey, Wesley, right here. Focus in, bud. Listen, I need you to listen to what I'm saying. Especially he's getting to that 7 or 8 year old range now. And I'm starting to let him help me with bigger things around the house. I let him use the drill the other day. Hey, I need you to listen. I need you to focus in here. Because what I'm about to hand you could really do some damage if you're not doing this right. Okay? God's doing the same thing. Hey, listen, right here. I'm trying to tell you something important. I'm trying to give you something that's going to change your life. Just right here. Listen. Listen to me. Next week, we're going to talk, Lord willing, we'll talk about the response. We'll cover that. But for now, let's learn to listen. Let's learn to listen. The ladies are going to sing. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, you say, you know what? I really need a message from God. Come get with God this morning. Ask him for it. If you need something this morning, ask. If you're looking for something, tell him. If he's spoken to you about something specifically, now's the time to listen and to say yes. If the Lord's spoken to your heart this morning, as the ladies sing, let's respond to the Lord this morning. Let's give him our ear, let's give him our heart, and let's sell out for the Lord this morning. And be like those simple shepherds and see the Savior just like they did.